Good morning. Before I start, I just want to say thank y'all for praying for us. We had a very interesting 2 weeks. COVID. We have like a delayed response at our house. like if Lori gets it, it takes me like a solid 5 days. And then like a kid gets it and then another kid gets it, and it just always seems to be a long drawn out thing. But thank y'all for praying for us. We have a praying church family, and we appreciate it. And I hope that everybody, like if you miss a few Sundays like we did, like I hope it feels like something's missing, like for everybody else, because like it feels like something's off if I don't come to church. So I pray that y'all have that feeling too, because it's important. It's important to know we have a good place to come to. So Dallas asked if me or Heath could preach today, and I did my best to put it on Heath because I was preparing for our youth retreat, but Heath was going to be out of town, so I was like, well, y'all are going to hear about our youth retreat because I was already preparing it. So we're going to go over some of that material today, just a portion of it. And y'all pray for us this week. Pray for me. Pray for the kids. Pray for the chaperones, Nita, Trish, Mom, Lori, Angela, because I got to put up with the kids and me. So I don't know which one's worse. But what we're going to talk about, the whole theme of our youth retreat is going to be how to be an asset and not a liability. We're going to approach this from a general standpoint of how to be an asset in life in general. And then we're going to apply it to biblical terms and what we see in the Bible as well and what God has to say about it. And what we're going to take from the Bible, we're going to look at the life of David and talk and learn from him and how he was an asset to the kingdom of God, but he was also a liability at times. So we're going to look at it from both sides of that coin through the life of David. So this is going to be more of a topical sermon, not as much expository, so there's going to be minimal verses to follow, because I had to pack a lot of information into a short amount of time. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll dive into it. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day and all its many blessings. Lord, I thank you for just having the freedom to come and worship you, Lord. I thank you for what we get to celebrate tomorrow in Independence Day, and I thank you for all those that sacrificed for that and are sacrificing now. And I pray for our country at the same time, Lord, as we're going through some trying times, but nothing new. It's just the same old thing in a cyclical pattern that we see. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us and open our hearts and our mind to you and what you have for us to hear today. Just pray for us as we go on our youth retreat, and keep us safe. Be with the kids and open up their hearts and their minds as well. Just ask that you'll be with all those traveling. We have a lot of people out of town. Just keep them safe as well, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Amen. So as I started looking at what the Bible said, has to say about being an asset or a liability, I noticed something pretty neat, pretty quick. The Bible overwhelmingly focuses on how we can be an asset as opposed to how we can be a liability. It does talk about how we can be a liability. Obviously, the Bible talks about sin. That is being a liability. But there's so much more about how we can be an asset that I noticed, at least. And it made me realize, like, you know, it's kind of a common theme. Some of the people in Sunday school already heard some of this because that's what we talked about, and it's going to be on repeat. It's kind of a common theme that we see in today's world, that people use the excuse, because they don't want to change and they don't want to stop sinning, So they don't want to commit to church and what the Bible has to say, because they think the Bible's oppressive, or like God wants to hold you back from having an enjoyable and a fun life. And guys, if you dig into the Bible, like that's so far from the truth. Like when we dig in and realize what God wants for our lives and what it means to be an asset for the kingdom of God, and we apply that, we not only become an asset for his kingdom, but we become an asset for us. And then if I become an asset for God and I become a bigger asset for myself in my life, then that trickles down to my family and y'all and the people around me. God wants what's good in our life. Like he does it, he promotes it. Like he wants us to have a good, enjoyable, fun life. And that's what we're talking about here today. What can we do to advance the kingdom of God, be an asset for God, and in turn, like we gain the reward for that. And it's so obvious if we get in and actually read and study and see what God wants for us. The definition of asset is a useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. A useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. The definition of liability is a person or thing whose presence or behavior is likely to cause embarrassment or put one at a disadvantage. Colossians 3:23-25. Colossians 3:23-25. This is the main verse we're going to focus on. It says, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Here in Colossians chapter 3, we see just in a few short verses what the Bible says about being an asset and being a liability. On one hand, if we do things from our heart and we have the Holy Spirit living within us, dwelling within our heart, it's clear that the Bible says we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord. And that's obviously talking about our eternal home with Christ. However, we also have to realize, yeah, we get that eternal home, we get that eternal reward, but God's going to bless us while we're here on this earth too. It's not to say our life's going to be easy or free of hard times. We're still going to have to go through that, but God blesses us when we strive to do good and we strive to do what he's called us to do. So on the opposite hand, Colossians chapter 3 says the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done. And it's quite simple here. If we do wrong, if we live as a liability to God and live against his will and in opposition to him, there's no blessing to be had. There's no reward for sinning. In today's world, that's not a real popular topic. Like, we're getting to a point in society where we don't want to hear about our sin. We don't want to hear about what we've done wrong. Like, society wants to twist what the Bible has to say to fit in your narrative. And that's so far from what God is. Like, we can't twist it to make us feel better about what we got going on. It's a dangerous place to be. We need to hear. We need to know when we're sinning. We need to know when we're doing wrong. All right, so let's look at the life of David real quick. We're going to take a look at his life and learn how he was an asset at times and how he was a liability at times and how he dealt with it. You know, in general, when we think about David, there's a couple things that come to mind. You know, the kindergarten version of what David did. You know, we think about David and Goliath. We think about, you know, David and Bathsheba, some of the highlights of it. But there's so much more that goes into David's life. Y'all, I studied this. If you want to read some interesting parts of the Bible, read 1 and 2 Samuel and then into the first part of 1 Kings. And boy, David had a lot going on in a short lifespan. Well, not short, but wow. If you think you're busy, like, David was busy. You know, those two events that we mostly remember, they're just a couple of events in a life full of adventure and heartache and faithfulness, greed, and so much more. Like, there's a little bit of everything in David's story. So there's a lot to take and be able to apply it to our lives. So let's just take a quick overview of some high points of his life just to set the tone, and then we're going to go into how we can apply it. As mostly everybody knows, David was a shepherd over his father Jesse's flock of sheep. So David was kind of like low man on the totem pole in his family. There's a bunch of boys in the family. And he was the younger one, so he got stuck with the sheep. However, this was a blessing because God put him in a position to not be real busy. So while he was tending his flock, there's a lot of downtime, and he grew his relationship with God, got extremely close to God. He was super faithful. And in the meantime, he learned how to fight because he had to fight off lions and bears. I had to fact check if there are bears in the Middle East, and there actually are. They're like smaller brown bears. I didn't know if there were bears over there, but there are. So, not that I doubted the Bible. I just didn't know if there were bears in the Middle East, but there are. All right, so then he gets sent to the front lines to take food to his older brothers that are fighting in King Saul's army. While he's there, in my terms, he hears Goliath talking trash about God, and says, "We can't stand for this. I'm going to go handle it." They try to put a bunch of armor on him. He's like, "I don't need this garbage. I can't even walk. Like, just give me my sling and I'm out." And he goes, pops him in the head real quick, knocks him out, takes his sword, cuts off his head, end of story. Kills the 9-foot man. He killed lions and bears, no big deal. 9-foot dude, gone. So, obviously, that got some attention. So Saul keeps him around, and he rises really quickly through the ranks of Saul's army, defeats a lot of enemies, wins a lot of battles. He becomes Saul's son's best friend, Jonathan, becomes his best friend. And hey, backtrack. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel as the next king. So that's some of the backstory that I missed. So he's real successful, does really good. Saul loves him up until the point where the people start loving David a little bit more than Saul. Saul gets jealous and slings his spear at David one day to try to kill him in the palace. So David's like, "I think I need to leave." So he checks out and he runs and he hides and is on the run for a while. So Saul takes after him and chases him for a while. David had a chance to kill him a couple times, but he didn't. He spared his life, cut his robe off when Saul snuck into the cave, and David let him leave. And then as he's kind of far away, he walks out and he's like, "Hey, bud, I could have got you." Then he goes back to the kingdom. He lets David come back. He gets jealous again. David has to flee again. This goes on for a while. Eventually, Saul dies in battle, and so does Jonathan. And then David is handed the reins. He becomes the king of Judah and Israel. and starts building his kingdom. There was some early conflict in his reign, but he quickly squashed that and started building a great kingdom. He started forming alliances with different communities and tribes around close to him that had never been done before. He established a government system that was successful, set up like trade routes and all this stuff. Like, it was good. God blessed him a whole lot because he was faithful to God, and he was doing things the way God wanted him to. So he blessed his kingdom, and it blew up until David got a little complacent. David stopped going to battle with his guys, decided not to one day, hung back at the palace, and let them go fight the battles, which that was really his job. That's what he was known for. That's what he was good at. But he took a break. Well, in the meantime, he gives in to his lustful desires. He sees Bathsheba. In the process, she gets pregnant, and then he has to come up with a way to cover it up. So he essentially murders her husband, and here we are. So now David is a murderer and an adulterer, and he has drifted away from what God has called him to do. God punishes them. Their son, their child that was born to Bathsheba, dies just as God told him he would. And then David's full of remorse. He calls out, he prays for forgiveness. God obviously gives it to him, but David is still not free. The forgiveness does not free him from the consequences of his action. His consequences of his sin follow him for the rest of his life, for the rest of his reign. And from then on, there's more problems. You still see David have a real faithful and strong relationship with God, but he still falters at times, and he has issues. He would be forced to flee his own city again because one of his own sons tried to overthrow him. And he had to leave, and then the son died, and he came back. He also made a bad decision and sinned against God again, and the result of that was 70,000 people of his people died due to a famine based on his sin. That was the punishment. But one of David's last acts as king would be to direct his son Solomon in how to run his kingdom after he takes over in the way that God would want him to. So even through all that he's been through, all the bad decisions, all the punishments from God, he's still leading his son in the right way. So he's still being an asset through all of this. So that's a quick overview, as quick as I could, about David's life. So despite all his flaws, he was still known as a man after God's own heart. You know, he would become the standard for all future kings, and all future kings would be measured based on what King David did. Even though he did mess up, even though he made bad decisions, he was still the one that everybody looked to as, hey, you need to be like this guy. He set the tone in doing this the right way and being a good leader. So we see some, you know, we see some qualities that make David an asset, and then we see some qualities that make him a liability. But we also see a lifetime of a faithful relationship with God, even through children dying, a bunch of people dying, all this stuff. We see David stay close to him. We see how much David was able to accomplish and how quickly he became successful because of the faith that he had in God. God blessed him a whole lot, but he still wasn't free of consequences when he made a bad decision. You study through these books and you see how over and over and over the examples of how often and frequent that David went to God for direction. Like just not every decision, because sometimes he didn't ask God's his advice. But for the majority of the time, you see David continuously going before the Lord and asking him. And he also communicated, God communicated to David through prophets directly. And it's just, it's an example for us of how we should go about making decisions and how we should go about, moving forward with things. We need to go before God, and we need to seek what he wants us to do in any given situation. And David ran his kingdom in such a way that it was pleasing to God. You know, we have a lot of business owners in here. That's something that we can take for him as being an asset in business, or in your job period if you don't own a business. But there's a certain way God wants us to run things in leadership. We'll get to that more in a minute. But you see that in David. Now, he ran his kingdom in a way that was pleasing to God, and he blessed him for it. He blessed him. He blessed the kingdom as a whole. But then, you know, we see the points where David slipped a little bit, and he becomes a liability by following his flesh. So I want to go over a few things. There's a lot of things that we can take from the life of David. I mean, hundreds of them. And I'm going to get into more of these with the kids throughout this week. But I picked about four that we're going to go through. Ways that we can be an asset that we've learned from David with his example in his life and how he relied on God to further that. So number one. And most importantly, in my opinion, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on God. When we stay focused on him daily, we leave no room for Satan to sneak in. We can't afford to take days off. Our relationship with Christ, it must stay in a state of growth on a daily basis. When we take days off turn into weeks off, weeks turn into months off, months turn into seasons off, and then we wake up one day and go, I hadn't been in church in a year because other things are more important. We can't afford to take days off. David took a day off, and it cost him a lot. It didn't cost him everything, because he stayed faithful to God and God stayed faithful to him. It could have cost him everything. If he would have turned away from God when God chose to punish him, he would have. He would have lost everything. He did lose a lot, but he didn't lose it all. But he took a day off. He got complacent. Number two, surround yourself with people who love you enough to speak the truth to you when it comes to your personal holiness. I'll repeat that. Surround yourself with people who love you enough to speak the truth to you when it comes to your personal holiness. Guys, we need to cultivate relationships with people that hold us accountable. And when they do, we don't need to get mad at them. Chances are you might. But we need to cultivate relationships with people that we trust to call us out when we're not being who God's called us to be. And it happens all the time. We fail. This church is full of people that love you enough to call you out when you're doing wrong. I know who will call me out. In a hurry, and I'm thankful for them. I am. I'm thankful for them because they love me enough to be honest with me and me go, ooh, you're right. I might not like it, and I might not want to hear it, but I appreciate it. And there's a lot of y'all that be willing to call me out. The more I look around, I'm like, ooh, yeah. Lori be first in line. I don't know. Marianne might be first in line. Lori's looking through the window. But we need that. We need people that love us enough to tell us when we're not living up to what God's called us to do. And the higher you are in leadership, the more important it is. And that doesn't mean me standing up here. It doesn't mean Dallas standing up here. I mean anybody. Leading your home, leading at work, leading in Sunday school, leading in the nursery. The higher you are in leadership, this is more important, because a lot of time leadership becomes this little island. It can become this lonely little place, because people, for some reason, don't want to call out the person leading. Guys, if you're a leader in any sense, you need people around you that will hold you accountable. You need people that love you enough to say, you're not doing this right. And David had that. David had people surrounding him that did care about him enough. He had those prophets. In those days, you're lucky to have a prophet that talked straight to God. Number three, we need to be aware of our influence. This ties into number two a little bit. No matter who you are, what you do, we all have some sort of influence. And there's somebody sitting in here right now that's going, I don't have any kind of influence on anybody. You're lying to yourself. And if you think that and you really don't have any kind of influence, then I say to you, get busy, because you're sitting on your hands. We are all put here to influence somebody. Whether it be your children at your house, people at work, people at school, whatever it is, we are put here to influence other people. We are put here to be a change. So are you using the gifts or the position or the influence that God's given you to advance Christ, to advance God's word? You know, are you asking yourself, how can I influence others in a positive way? How can I be a good friend? How can I be kind? How can I care about others? How can I lead by example? How can I think about others more than I think about myself? That's questions we start asking ourselves to figure out how to influence other people. And the answer's simple. We do our best to think and act like Jesus. David had a lot of influence. Most of the time he used it for the good, but we see sometimes he didn't. We have to be careful when we're in a position to influence other people, especially young people. If you have influence over young people, you need to take it serious, because it can go one of two ways. And you're not going to be perfect, because I surely ain't. But you need to take it serious, because it's a serious matter. So lastly, hang with me here. This is kind of deep. We need to prepare to finish strong and be consistent. No one drifts towards holiness. You don't accidentally pursue the Lord. It is a daily decision that we have to make to draw closer to Him. Nobody drifts towards holiness. It's not something you just wake up and find yourself in. It's real easy to drift away from holiness. That's easy to do. All you have to do is relax and get comfortable and take time off and lose focus. we see David drift away. He drifted away from what God called him to do. He took a break. He relaxed. And he got comfortable. And it hurt. It caused a lot of pain. To finish strong, we must prepare for the end. Because we don't know when the end is. I don't care if you're 50, 20, or 12. We can all prepare for the end of our lives. We do this by establishing a pattern of faithfulness to the Lord on a daily basis. Prepare for the end. Don't think about just today. What kind of treasures are you going to store up in heaven by preparing for the end? We have to be an asset. We have to wake up every day and try to be an asset. And when we do that, we prepare for the end. We prepare ourselves, we prepare others for the end. You know, this seems a little on the extreme side, but we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves daily so that we can combat drifting away. Because it's real easy. Because we get busy. Me and Marianne just talked about this. We get busy. We get caught up in all this stuff, all these things. And it's real easy to wake up and go, man, I hadn't studied in a while. And I hadn't sat down and gotten quiet in a while. I hadn't prayed in a while. It's real easy to drift away. We have to make a conscious effort to move towards God. We don't drift towards holiness. You know, it's like driving. You know, everybody in here that drives. I like to look at deer. I like to look for deer when I'm driving. And I get in trouble for it all the time. Like, that's just, if there's a field, I look in the field and I look for deer. Like, that's what I do. It's like a hobby. And it's dangerous. And Lori gets on to me. And then she made me stop yelling when I saw a deer. Because I'd be like, deer! And then I got in trouble for that. So now, there's a funny story that goes with that. I'm not going to tell you right now, but because I'm running out of time. But when you drift this way and you're looking at the field because you want to see how many deer in it. I saw 7 deer yesterday, if y'all wanted to know. Then if I look this way and I'm not careful and I don't pay attention, I start drifting that way. And then, or if I'm looking this way, then I could drift into oncoming traffic. You know, we just got the ditch, over here, or we got traffic over here. But wherever your eyes go, that wheel goes with you. It's the same thing. If we take our eyes off of Jesus, if we take our eyes off of what he's called us to do, and we start looking somewhere else, like Bathsheba, then that's where we're going to go. We have to keep our focus on Jesus and what he's called us to be. So to close and wrap this up, let's take the great example of David's life of how to be an asset for the Lord and how easily and quick we can become a liability. Let's take this as an example that we can relate to in our everyday life. But let's also focus on the part where David stayed faithful to God even through the really bad times. David took his punishment. And he kept rocking on. And he stayed faithful to God. I'm sure he didn't enjoy the punishment. It was awful. But he still kept his faith. And when bad things come, like we can't let that break us. We can't let that break our faith. It can be easy to do. But let's take David's example, because he went through some really bad things, and he stayed faithful, he stayed true. So I want you to ask yourself, I'm going to ask myself, have I been an asset, or have I been a liability? Might be a hard question to ask. Might be a hard question to answer. But regardless of what your answer to that question is, there's hope. There's hope in Christ. Because there's hope if you've been an asset and you know you have, there's hope that you can be even more of an asset And there's hope on the other side, because if you think you've been a liability with Christ and what Christ did on the cross, you can stop. And you can start being an asset right now. You can start doing what God's called you to be. If you've been an asset, we can all be more of one. Like, whatever you're doing, don't just say, well, I do this, I'm good. There's more to be done. Wherever you're at right now, wherever you're at and whatever you're doing to advance the gospel, you can still do more. There's more to be done. So don't sit on your hands. And if you're kind of in between these things, being an asset and a liability, if you're just kind of existing, make a decision. Make a decision to take on a role, because there is a role that God has put you on this earth to accomplish and to live out. Don't sit on your hands. There's a lot of work to be done. And the more of us, the way our world's going right now, the more of us that make a decision to be an asset and live the way God's called us to do and do what God's called us to do, the quicker we're going to turn that around. I'm about to say something, and I hope I don't step on any toes, but if I do, I'm speaking from here. The biggest liability I've seen, and we talked about this in Sunday school, the biggest liability I've seen is a man that referred to himself as a pro-choice pastor in the last 2 weeks. I've never in my life seen more of a liability against the Word of God. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what your opinion is. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. And if that man calls himself a pastor that preaches the Word of God, he is lying. He is not an asset. And I usually don't get into these kind of things when I get up here, but it made me angry. Because that's not what we're here to do. We're not sent here to appease people and their political agenda or anything else. And guys, I'm not a very political person, but you're talking about the Bible. And if you stand before people and you preach the opposite of what the Bible says, you're wrong. And there is no such thing as a pro-choice pastor. And this man thinks that he is an asset for the kingdom of God, and he is the furthest thing from it. And it is dangerous. We have to prepare our kids to know the difference between what they hear in the world we live in now. And that's why I chose to talk about this week. Because our kids, it's scary because they don't know how to think for themselves. I'm not talking about our kids sitting in here. I'm talking about kids in general. Kids in general don't know how to think for themselves. So they're going to fall for anything. So it's my job to teach our kids sitting in this room right now what the truth is. And that's why we're going over this. So y'all pray for them. Pointing at you because you're the only one I see. Y'all pray for them, and y'all pray for our chaperones, because half of us are crazy and there's a couple of us that aren't. And pray for me, and pray for Trish and Anita and Angela, because they're speaking a little bit too. And just pray for us to be safe and have a good time. But this is what we're going to be going over. This is the gist of it, through 6 different sessions in 3 days. And I'm just trying to fill y'all in on what we're doing. We're going to get there Wednesday. We won't have any sessions on Wednesday. We'll get settled in, get our food, let the kids play, do whatever, relax. We'll have 2 sessions on Thursday, 2 sessions on Friday, 2 sessions on Saturday. And then we'll come back Sunday. And I'm excited about it. I feel good about it, and I hope the kids are. And fingers crossed, nobody gets injured by me, because it tends to happen. So not on purpose, it just tends to happen. It kind of follows me. So, guys, I pray that you take this and you save it. Don't just hear it, listen to it, take it outside of here and apply it. There's a lot to take from the life of David. If you're looking for something to read, start in 1 Samuel and hang out until you're done. It'll take a minute. It might have took me a minute because I read slow. All right, I'm going to hush now. We're done. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you again for allowing us to be here. Lord, I thank you for the example that David sets for us. I thank you for your word and the direction it gives us. Just ask that you will be with us through this week and keep us safe and keep us mindful of you, Lord. Help us to go out and leave here and just be an example for the world around us. And Lord, I just thank you for this church and everything it means to me and everybody else in here. Lord, I ask that if anybody has a decision to make today, that they will, that they'll come forward, Lord, whether it be to join the church or just for ask for prayer or to get saved, Lord, whatever it may be. Lord, just ask you to be with all those that are struggling, all those that are dealing with things that we don't know about. We love you and we thank you. Amen.